Please let's stand for the call to worship. It will be read in my local Ghanaian language. Yen yina ye abusia bakon, a onyankopon abo yen sene inseso. Yen yina ye abusia bakon, obiara danson, obiara yesrunkon. Yen yina ye abusia bakon, a wama yen achedie, ene adom achedie sayenche. We'll take our first hymn from hymn number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to be in worship with you today. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Reverend Hammond Evans. He'll be preaching today's message as we start a new series called From the Whirlwind. For the next 4 weeks, we are going to examine some of the key teachings in the book of Job. So we pray that that series is a blessing to all of you. As we gather for worship this morning, I want to remind you of a few things that we have coming up in the life of our church. First of all, 1 week from yesterday, so this coming Saturday, there will be a semi that is half full of pumpkins that will pull onto the parking lot here at the church. So I invite as many of you as are able to come help us toss those things out of the truck and onto the lawn. And when you arrive here next Sunday for church, there should be a beautiful display of pumpkins on our south lawn. We're also still looking for many volunteers to help out with those shifts as we raise funds for the student ministry program here at Asbury. So if you're able to help unload pumpkins next Saturday, if you're able to serve in a volunteer capacity, a shift here or there between now and Halloween, it sure would be appreciated. On Sunday, October 24th, we will have our annual trunk or treat out in the west parking lot. So we invite the Sunday school classes or individuals that are so moved to do so to show up with a decorated trunk and some candy to pass out to the children. We'll have hot dogs and chips and games, and it will be a great time for our family, along with the community at large, to come together for an afternoon of fun and fellowship. So we certainly hope that you are there. Today is World Communion Sunday. It's a blessing to be united, not just with our congregation here at Asbury, but with other Christians around the world as we celebrate this special day, as we give thanks for the body and blood of our Savior. As you head out today, you will notice there are two offering baskets in the foyer. One is our standard offering that we always have. The other one is our community ministries offering, which we used to do on Communion Sundays, and we are bringing that back. And so we encourage you, if you are so moved, to give to that, so we that may continue to use that for the missions and ministries serving those in need in the Little Rock area. As we continue on with worship, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, we give thanks to you for this day, for this beautiful morning, that we can come together in this beautiful sanctuary to worship, praise, and glorify your name. God, we know that you're mighty among us today, that as we come together through the sacrament of communion to drink from one cup together, we know that you move mightily among us, seeking to transform us into the image of Christ that you call us to be. We are thankful for all of that. We are thankful for your Son, his mighty sacrifice made for us all. We pray this morning, God, for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those who are lost, all of those who are in pain, all of those who feel disconnected from you. God, we know that you are always near, even when we can't feel you. We pray for our community here at Asbury. We pray specifically for these brothers and sisters. We pray for Clifford Smith. We pray for June Glazier. We pray for Betty Hill and Fred Williams. We pray for Barbara Clark and June Counts. We pray for Patty Shoemaker and Joe Odell. We pray for Lanny Langley, and we pray for Nate Hill. We pray for Jay McDaniel. We pray for Jessica and Jonathan Sears. We pray for their twins, Luke and Olivia. We pray for Roger Dinker. We pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know and trust that you are at work in their lives, that your will is being done. And we give you thanks for the love, mercy, and compassion that you show to all of those who are in need of that. And God, we give you thanks above all for your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for all that he was, is, and will be in our lives, for all of the mighty work and acts that he has done, both in his earthly ministry and today. And God, we give you thanks above all for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. We ask all this in your Son's holy and beautiful name. Amen. I'd like to now introduce Annalette as she will lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer in Tamil. Please join with me in English after that. Paramandalangalil irukkira engal pidave ummudaiya naamam parisuthapaduvathaga. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Ummudaiya rajyam varuvathaga, ummudaiya sittam paramandalathile seiyapadugirathu pola bhoomiyileyum seiyapaduvathaga. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Engalukku vendiya aaharathai indru engalukku tharum. Give us this day our daily bread. Engal kadanaligalukku naangal mannikkirathu pola engal kadangalai engalukku manniyum. And forgive us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Engalai sodhanaikku utpada pannamal தீமை நின்று எங்களை ரட்சித்துக் கொள்ளும். And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. ராஜ்யமும் வல்லமையும் மகிமையும் என்றென்றைக்கும் உம்முடையவைகளே. ஆமென். For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Our scripture reading this week is from the book of Job. I'll be reading chapter 1, verse 1, and then chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. A man in the land of Uz was named Job. That man was honest, a person of absolute integrity. He feared God and avoided evil. One day the divine beings came to present themselves before the Lord. The adversary also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to the adversary, "Where have you come from?" The adversary answered the Lord, "From wandering throughout the earth." The Lord said to the adversary, "Have you thought about my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a man who is honest, who is of absolute integrity, who reveres God and avoids evil. He still holds on to his integrity, even though you incited me to ruin him for no reason." The adversary responded to the Lord, "Skin for skin, people will give up everything they have in exchange for their lives. But stretch out your hand and strike his bones and flesh, then he will definitely curse you to your face." The Lord answered the adversary, "There he is within your power, only preserve his life." The adversary departed the Lord's presence and struck Job with severe sores from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. Job took a piece of broken pottery to scratch himself and sat down on a mound of ashes. Job's wife said to him, "Are you still clinging to your integrity? Curse God and die." Job said to her, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Will we receive good from God, but not also receive the bad?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. Welcome to Asbury and welcome to our worship series on the book of Job. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take a very close look at Job's story. And it's I always love to read Job when I'm having a tough time or when I'm trying to be a friend to someone, or I have a loved one, a family member who is going through difficulties. And if that's for you, or if you've just wondered how in the world God could be good in the midst of so much suffering and heartache in the world, then this will be a wonderful series for you as well. Before we move into the sermon proper, especially since we're beginning a series on a whole book today, a few words of introduction are in order. Most scholars believe that the book of Job was written in the form that we have it today, sometime in or around the Babylonian exile. And if you've studied the Babylonian exile, you know that that was a very difficult time for the Jewish people. They lost their land, they lost their home, they lost their sanctuary, they lost the temple. Some of them had seen the Babylonians kill their children and grandchildren. And we'll see as we read Job's story today that that's exactly what happens to him too. He goes through those very same things. Well, the Babylonian exile began almost 2,600 years ago, but the story of Job is much, much older than that, maybe even older than 3,000 years. Many cultures in the ancient Near East had a story about a very righteous or a perfectly righteous man who suffered terrible tragedy at the hands of the god or the gods. And in many of those stories, God or the gods turned out to be indifferent to human beings or even hostile to people. And so there are several stories in the Bible that are older than the biblical narrative. The creation stories are much older, the flood stories and things like that. But when when the biblical authors share an older story from an older tradition, they never tell it the same way. They never simply repeat what they have been handed or what they have heard. The biblical authors always put their own spin on those older stories. They tell the story in a way that reflects who the God of Israel is and who we are in relationship to that God. So, the author of Job seems to have taken a very, very, very old folk story, a once upon a time and they lived happily ever after story, and then interjected 40-some-odd chapters of poetic theological reflection in the middle of it. Through the poetry and the prose, the book of Job reflects, or it wrestles on with the fact that good, faithful people sometimes experience terrible suffering, and then it asks the question, where is God in that? Many of us struggle with that too. Some of us are struggling with that right now today. If you haven't, you will someday. But heads up, the book of Job does not offer any simple answers. There's nothing easy about what it says. But I found that when I allow Job's story to grasp my heart, I never come away the same. I need to acknowledge a debt of gratitude to my seminary professor in Hebrew Bible. That was Dr. Carol Newsom at Emory. And when I took her class in the introduction to Old Testament, she was researching the book of Job. And so what she taught us about Job at that time influences the way this series is structured. And so today we're going to talk about the folk tale. Next week we're going to talk about the friends, and then we're going to see what God has to say, and then we're going to come to the end and see what the ending of Job means in light of all of that. So that's based on Dr. Newsom's work, and I need to acknowledge that. One last thing before we begin. Whenever we read Job today, we have to set aside some of our 21st century theological beliefs and assumptions. One of those has to do with a particular character. Like I say, this story is at least 3,000 years old, maybe even much older than that. And in their way of thinking, Yahweh, the Lord, oversaw a council of divine beings, kind of a heavenly court or heavenly courtroom. And in that courtroom, God, of course, was the judge. Every courtroom has to have a prosecuting attorney. And the word for prosecutor in Hebrew is hasatan, which can be translated as the adversary or the prosecutor. Hasatan, over 3,000 years, becomes the character of Satan. But hasatan in the book of Job is not... He's not thinking about the devil, right, the way we think of it today. That developed over a long period of time, and so we kind of have to let that go. It's also important that we accept that Job was a man of absolute integrity. He was perfectly good, perfectly righteous. We'll see in just a moment that even God says he was, so who are we to argue with that, amen? All right, let us pray. God of all that is good, and God of our pain and heartache, we pray now that you will be with us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us here in the sanctuary and with those of us who are watching online. Give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Once upon a time, in the merry old land of Uz, there lived a man named Job. Job was a good man. He was honest, a man of absolute integrity. He respected God, and he always avoided evil. God blessed Job abundantly. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was very wealthy, the most wealthy man who lived at the time. His kids loved to throw the biggest birthday parties when they had one. And whenever those parties would happen, Job would always stay home just in case there was any sinning that happened there. And he would offer special prayers and special offerings on behalf of his children just in case they sinned. One day, God held court in heaven, and God asked the prosecuting attorney what he'd been up to lately. The adversary said he'd been traveling, looking around for people to bring to God for judgment. God looked at him and smiled and said, "Have you ever considered my servant Job? There's no one like him. He's an honest man, a man of absolute integrity. He loves me and he always avoids evil." The prosecutor said, "God, Does Job love you for naught? You've protected him and everything that he has. I think if you took that away, he would curse you to your face. The Lord said, okay, let's see. You may take everything that he has, but don't touch him. The prosecutor obeyed. One day, Job's children were having one of those birthday parties at one of their homes. Job was home praying at his estate. Four messengers came in with terrible news. They reported that raiders came and stole all of Job's wealth and murdered all of his employees. Then fire rained down from sky and destroyed all of Job's flocks. And then came the worst news of all. While his children were celebrating his eldest son's birthday, a tornado struck the house and killed all of Job's children. In anguish, Job got up, ripped his clothes, shaved his head, and fell down on his knees and worshiped God. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. Bless the Lord's name." Job never sinned or blamed God. So when the prosecutor returned to give his report to the Lord noted how Job had remained faithful in the midst of his anguish. The prosecutor said, "If you afflict him with physical suffering, he will abandon you then." The Lord said, "So be it, but do not kill him." The prosecutor obeyed the Lord. Job's skin erupted in boils from head to toe. His wife, and often Job's wife gets a really bad rap, we mustn't forget that Job's wife had endured the same heartache and the same anguish and the same suffering as her husband. Well, she had had enough, and so she told Job just to curse God and die and get it over with. But Job didn't. He never sinned, not even with his lips. And so the Lord rewarded Job. He got back twice as much as he lost. And he and his wife had children to replace all of the children that they had lost. And he lived to a ripe old age and was able to see his great-great-grandchildren. He lived happily ever after. But did he really? You know, the Brothers Grimm ended Sleeping Beauty originally with these words. They live happily ever after, as they always do in fairy tales, not quite so often, however, in real life. How could Job have lived happily ever after when he lost so much? Can you really replace seven children? What kind of a God tortures an innocent man like that over a bet of all things? Is that kind of a God worthy of our worship? Next week, we'll begin to unravel how the book of Job handles those very questions. But in the meantime, this meal shows us that God is not like that at all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Join me for the great Thanksgiving. If you turn in your hymnal to page 15... Does anyone need a gluten-free wafer? Anybody? Okay. In the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is not our table. It is the Lord's table. and all of God's children are free to come and receive. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from every nation one people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to evil, sin, and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today, his family in all the world is joining us at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, shared it with his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, God, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith together, saying, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and online, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be the body and the blood of Christ for us, that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup which we bless is a sharing in the blood of Jesus Christ. I invite you to take the communion set that you were given when you came in. You may take yours at home as well. If you'll open up the smaller side, there's a small piece of bread in there. As we eat this, we remember that this is the body of Christ broken for us. And you may flip over on the other side. And if you're participating at home, you may take your grape juice or wine. And as we drink, we remember that this is the blood of Jesus Christ poured out for us. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. You are more than welcome to join our church family by professing your faith in Jesus Christ or by transferring from another United Methodist church. If there is anyone here today that would like to do that, you can come forward on the singing of the final on the final hymn, and we will extend the right hand of Christian fellowship to you. If you're joining us online and you're not a member of Asbury United Methodist Church, you're welcome to do that too. simply email me at hammett@asbury-lr.org, or you can go to our church website and find it there. Please contact me, and I would be glad to talk with you about what it means to be a professing member of Jesus Christ's family through Asbury United Methodist Church. And now let's stand and sing together, It Is Well With My Soul. This is a beautiful hymn. Many of you probably know that Horatio Spafford wrote this hymn after his family died in a shipwreck. And so keep that in mind as we sing together, It Is Well With My Soul. Supposed to cough in here. Anyway, you don't want to know all the gross stuff that just happened in my chest cavity. But anyway, there are, as Nick said earlier, there are two offering baskets in the back, one for the Community Ministries Fund that we usually take on Communion Sunday. That's the altar rail offering, and then the regular offering for the church operating funds as well. I do want you to be aware that we've been working on how to bring children back into the building safely, and I've been working with the scouts as well as Nicole and the nursery, and I think we're getting close to having a plan, and so to do that. So anyway, be watching your email, especially the Things email this week, and I'm hopeful that there may be an announcement about that for next Sunday. Speaking of next Sunday, we continue our Job series, and if you've ever wondered how to be a good friend to someone who is hurting, or a good family member to someone who is hurting, Job's friends show us all the things you should never do, amen? And so we'll talk about that next week. We'll also talk about what would be good, what would be helpful, how can we be good friends to people when they are in anguish, in pain. So I invite you to come back for that. Let's show a sign of appreciation for everybody that participated in our World Communion Day service today. Let's say thank you. I meant to mention, too, we're still working on choir stuff, and I understand that the handbells are coming back soon. So let's give Diana a hand about that. We're working on all this stuff. We just got to do it in the safest way possible, make sure that we have good protocols in place. So we appreciate your patience as well. Thank you for joining us today as well, and thanks for those of you who have joined us online. Would everyone please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen.